have here, amen, by the mercies of God. Therefore, I urge you by the mercies of God to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Amen. Present your body as a living sacrifice. And as I began to think about sacrifice, well, I went back to where it all began. You know, the Old Testament. How about sacrifice? Remember sacrifices in the Old Testament? Amen. The original, the sacrifice. You know, there was on 16 different occasions in the book of Leviticus, it talks about an aroma with a sacrifice. We're going to talk a little bit about an aroma. But it says that there was an aroma is mentioned and something as something pleasing to God. Specifically, the aroma of a sacrifice is important to God. When you think of that aroma, is it just the smell? I used to think about that, you know, you've got a bull or a goat or a sheep, right? And it's on an altar and it's being burned. And you think, and you, this aroma coming up, and it says like the aroma was pleasing to God. And I thought, man, that sounds barbaric. That sounds crazy. Like an aroma, liking this as it's burning up. There's been a death. There's been a death. That's, if you look at, we watched a video of it, it's bloody. It's a bloody death, cutting the throat to save a bull and draining all its blood. Amen. Reminding us that Jesus drained all his blood for us, did he not? And any last drop he had as that spear hit his side and blood and water flowed, every drop. A violent death, when you think about the death of a bull or sheep or a goat. It wasn't pretty. And then on top of that, for God, the creator of heaven and earth, one who's wise beyond anything that we could imagine. You think of the wisdom of man, you think of going to the moon, amen? You think of the bridges and the different things that he can design and build. That's pretty smart. And then you have a God that's beyond any wisdom of a man. And I like the aroma of burning animal flesh. That is it just about the animal flesh? Because it would sound barbaric, amen? But the thing is the importance of a sacrifice's aroma is not the smell, but what the smell represents. Hallelujah. The substitute atonement of sin, for sin. So the very mention of God smelling the aroma of a burnt offering is found in Genesis 8:21. It says, Noah offered a burnt offering of clean animals and birds after leaving the ark. We are told it was a pleasing aroma to God. The idea is that Noah's sacrifice was a propitiation or satisfaction of God's righteous requirements. It's a satisfaction piece, you could call it. It's a discharge. You know, in the law, this the satisfaction piece means that if you were in debt to something or you owed money and you get the satisfaction piece, it would mean that you no longer owe anything. You're free and clear. There's no lien against you. Nobody can come against you and say, hey, you still owe me. No, I've got a satisfaction piece here. It said it's been paid in full, however that was. So when we talk about this propitiation, we talk about this aroma. It wasn't the smell that God was so interested in. The aroma said that my wrath against sin is satisfied by this sacrifice. Amen? That aroma. Saying, because we know that when Noah did he sacrificed. All the rest of the world had paid the most costly for their sin. They died. They died in the flood. And even though it called Noah righteous, when he got out of that boat, what is the first thing he did? He sacrificed. He made a sacrifice. Because even though that you were obedient, Noah, I still need you to sacrifice, make a sacrifice, a propitiation for your sins, so that something in your place died so I can give you the satisfaction piece and say, you no longer are guilty. There's no debt against you. So when we think about propitiation, it means you're free and clear. There's nothing that can come against you legally. There's no loophole. There's no maybe something that can come back from your past and say, aha! His Calvary debt, his sacrifice paid for everything but this one thing over here. No, there's no loopholes. There's no way for something to come back. No, the propitiation of that sacrifice paid it all. And so that aroma that God had smelled was saying, the price was paid. For sin, there's always a price that has to be paid. Amen. That's the way God set it up. In heaven, there's no shifting shadows. There's not a single sin. Everything being imperfect. Sin can't dwell in his presence. It dies. It can't live. It can't coexist with him. Amen? So this thing that he set up as far as a sacrifice sounds barbaric, but the truth of it, it is barbaric. You think if you think of everything that an animal had to pay, gave its life for you and I, or for it, or individually, I should say, during that purpose for Israelites. A pleasing aroma. So you think about back in the Old Testament real quick, they had to sacrifice, right? So we had this sacrifice. We're talking about going back real quick. I want to read it again so we don't lose track of what we're doing here. Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your body as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. So we're talking about sacrifice real quick because it didn't start with the New Testament. Amen? Sacrifice in that word and what it meant started even before the law was given. Even our brother or our father Abraham made sacrifices. So it required a sacrifice. You know, Old Testament, Old Covenant, sacrificing for was a sacrificing of animals, and it was your animal that had to be sacrificed. God didn't provide the animal. You did. You had to provide that animal. And it went from a bull to a sheep to a goat to a grain offering down to, or birds even, down to what that family or individual could afford. But you had to provide the sacrifice. God did not. The other second thing is you had to sacrifice your time. There was a sacrificial requirements for sacrificing your time during that Old Testament. Boy, there was a lot of it at the time. The different feasts, you had the Passover feast. You had the Feast of Unleavened Bread. You had the Feast of First Fruits. You had the Feast of Weeks, a festival of joy. It was a wheat harvest. You had the Feast of Trumpets, asking God for his favor. You had the Feast of the Day of Atonement, a fasting and a time of rest. You had the Feast of Tabernacles. It was an 8-day feast. So not only did you have to give animals for sacrifice, you had to give a lot of your time. A requirement asking for God's favor and strength in your life. And then at that time, you had to give of a sacrifice. You had to give of your time, and you had to give of your money. A requirement of your money. Leviticus 27:30 says, now all the tithe of the land, of the seed of the land, or of the fruit of the tree is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. A tenth of everything, really. So we had to give an animal. We had to give time. And we had to give our money. Amen. But I'm so thankful for Ephesians 5:2. Ephesians 5:2. Amen. Do we have Ephesians 5:2, Bill? Amen. It says, and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. You think of all the sacrifices of time, money, and this, and then Christ being a fragrant aroma to God seems illogical, seems almost crazy. That once again, the brutalness of his death, the violence of his death, but that one sacrifice, can you believe his own precious son and God's sweet aroma? All sins being paid for. No more requirements, sacrifices to be made right with him. I said, no more sacrifices. If you put your faith in him, for the just shall live by faith. No more sacrifice to be justified. Nothing we do outside of Christ is a sweet aroma to God. Only one aroma was sweet is when Jesus gave his life 2,000 years ago and said, and Jesus said, it is finished. A sweet aroma of sacrifices. All those years, the foreshadow of the law, as we saw all the animals being slaughtered, all the time and the feast and everything that they had to do, a foreshadow of Christ in heaven. And the monies that had to be sacrificed had to be given. Don't get me wrong, I still believe in tithing and giving, but it's not out of that requirement. It's more of a sowing and reaping now. A thing that God, you can't outgive God. But I don't have to give to him in order to please him, because Christ was a sweet aroma. Amen? Amen. Anything outside of Christ, any good work to try to make ourselves better, you know. Anything outside of Christ being the sacrifice for our sins is not a sweet aroma to God. It's pungent to God, actually. There's no other way, amen, outside of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hebrews 13, 15, and 16 says, through him, then, let's continually offer up. He's saying, right, we're talking about giving a sacrifice of praise. Through him, then, let's continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. Amen. That is the fruit of our lips, praising his name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. You know, the fruit of his lips. You know, he had to give a tenth of the fruit of everything you grew, everything you had. But now the fruit of our lips, thanksgiving, praise to God. The sweet aroma is our praise focused to Jesus. Did you know when we come together, you're by yourself and you're worshiping God, did you know it's a sweet aroma to God? Did you know it's like incense in heaven? God hears that. It's pleasing in his sight because we put our faith into one who shed his blood, who gave a sweet aroma, incense, our fragrance to God. For your and I sins, period. Hallelujah. You know, his spirit compels us now in today's world, or how we operate as born-again believers, amen, walking in his grace. His spirit compels us to sacrifice now. It's not a requirement, right? He paid the entire price to make us right for him, with him. His spirit compels us to sacrifice. Proverbs 21, 25 and 26, Bill. The desire of the lazy one puts him to death, for his hands refuse to work. Verse 26, all day long he is craving, while the righteous gives and does not hold back. You know, with his spirit, we become givers out of his Holy Spirit. It's not out of a sacrifice of, I've got to do this. It's out of what he's done for you and I. His sacrifice is made. What he's done in me, this isn't even a sacrifice. I can't help but give. That proverb says, while the righteous gives and does not hold back. Hallelujah! Aren't you glad for that? You know, now God by the Holy Spirit leads us with desire. He leads us with desire. He doesn't lead us with an attitude of, I've got to make this sacrifice. I've got to do this. I have to do this because it's my Christian duty. Amen? No, the sacrifice was paid. We've got it wrong. We've got it flipped around. Somehow we're looking at it that, no, I this is my responsibility to make the sacrifice because this will make me holy. This is my responsibility. I have to do this. No, when we understand that aroma, Christ was to our Father. Even in our struggles, he smells that aroma for eternity. The Son paid the price. When we have bad days and struggles, smell that aroma of my son or daughter because they put their faith in me. You know, that aroma was the very last sacrifice that. After that, after Jesus rose from the grave, they were still killing the bulls and the sheep and the goats and the grain offerings and all the festivities and festivals. But none of that mattered anymore. None of that was a sweet-smelling aroma to God anymore because it was finished. The veil between the holy place and the Holy of Holies was rent right in half. Amen? Amen? That Holy of Holies where God dwelt only, right? And the priest could only go in once a year at sacrifice and make atonement for the people for that aroma at that time. That was rent in half, and there was never another sacrifice that had a sweet-smelling aroma, a propitiation for sins ever again. Amen? You know, if we realize that propitiation and that aroma When we think about that, even in our struggles, when Satan's trying to lie to us, it'll give us confidence. It'll give us confidence. It'll give us strength. It's because of that aroma that Jesus says, hey, you can be healed. You can be healed. It's because of that aroma God says, hey, I will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. It's because of that aroma that I will dwell inside of you. It's only because of that aroma. It's the only reason, because of propitiation, the price was paid once and for all. Hallelujah. Do you believe that? Amen, I do too. Thank you, Father, for that. Thank you for that aroma. Once and for all. I'm thankful that when I struggle, it still smells that good aroma. My wife might say, no, I don't think your aroma is too good right now. Well, let's just get down to life, right? We got our struggles or family member or whatever's going on. But I'm so thankful that even during those times, God says, and when we realize that, man, we want to get back in fellowship with him right away. I'm learning that. Thank you, Lord. Right away, I want to make that right with my wife or my family member or with you guys. Because of that aroma. When we get together and worship, man, there's an aroma in the spiritual realm that devils hate. God loves that aroma, right? Devil hates it. Can't get away from it quick enough. Amen. The only way that the devil can come in is or take root in our lives is when we start agreeing, start speaking things contrary to him. Amen. We're trusting God. Amen. That aroma. Thank you, Lord, for that aroma. Hey, that aroma means everything. I got to go back and read that again. I can't leave it yet. Where am I? Where am I? Ephesians 5:2. And walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Thank you for that, Father. The propitiation of our sins. Hallelujah. So now we know that God by the Holy Spirit leads us with desire. Romans 6:4 says, therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death. And I'm not talking about water baptism. We've been crucified with Christ, but nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Baptism can't save you. It is a step showing the world that, hey, I am a new creation. Amen? We're showing the world people can celebrate with us in an act saying, hey, I've given my life to Christ. I'm a new man or I'm a new woman. Come celebrate that with an act of baptism. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, hallelujah, so we too may walk in newness of life. Amen. You know, and Luke showing that not everything that's mentioned or we read in the Bible about baptism is water baptism. Even Jesus said in Luke 12:50, he's saying, but I have a baptism to undergo. And how distressed I am until it is accomplished. He was crucified, buried, raised again as a sweet aroma to God. Amen. You know, when we realize that sweet aroma, we understand his sacrifice and what it means. Renewing our mind means something different. We're not renewing our mind in order to please God, right? We please him because that only that aroma, only accepting Christ as our Savior, pleases me. But when we realize who we are in Christ and renew in our mind, we're doing it out of a relationship, not out of brownie points or somehow the devil's, you know, I got to get rid of the devil in my life. I understand renewing our mind so we stand with him, but it's only that sacrifice of his that frees us from the bondage of sin and Satan. Only that. It's only understanding that. Amen? It's only understanding that. So once we realize that, once we believe that and understand that sacrifice he made, then in verse 2, Romans 12, verse 2 says, and do not be conformed to this world. Amen? Because you're born again, your blood washed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. I love it that with us, with where we are positioned with Christ, seated with him in heavenly places, like it says in Colossians 3, where we're walking with him, it's proved. We're proving that God is in our life. People see it. I'm talking about perfection, that God's blessing on your life. We are proving his hand upon us. Prove that, he says. Prove that. Renew your mind. You're born again. He's paid the cost. Amen. He's paid the cost so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Amen. The renewing of your mind is it just reading scripture? We have the Holy Spirit. Is it just reading scripture? Is it just listening to worship music? All those things are powerful, but we also have a promise from God about renewing our mind. Hebrews 10, 16 through 18. Hebrews, it says, this is the covenant which I will make with them after these days. Are we in a new covenant, by the way? Yeah, we're in a new covenant. Amen? We sure are. This is the covenant which I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws upon their hearts and write them on their mind. Amen. He then says, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will no longer remember. Hallelujah. Now where there is forgiveness of these things, an offering for sin is no longer required. We make our own offerings for sin. We say it over. We're not careful. Somehow we feel like our own offerings and sacrifices. No, none of that. None of that will make us righteous. Only out of knowing that, hey, Lord, your word says right here that you will write your laws, your word on my mind. Lord, by the Holy Spirit, as I take your word in, as I'm fellowshipping with brothers and sisters, you're rewriting my mind. You're writing that word of my mind, Lord. It's not just a thing of my responsibility. It's a promise from the word of God that you'll put your laws in my heart and you'll write them on my mind. Hallelujah. Amen. And knowing that there's no longer an offering for sin required. Amen. Lord, so we thank you for that, the word in our hearts, in our mind. People say, well, where is the law now in my heart? Amen. I look at that list of commandments. Thou shalt not steal. Well, of course, I know that. Without stealing, you'll find out real quick when you're in the pokey. Don't do that. Right? Don't steal from your friend. You find out real quick they don't appreciate that. Right? You'll find out where it says don't lie. You'll find out if you go around lying, you're not going to have any friends. You're not going to be trustworthy. You'll find out. Of course we know these things with the law. It's where we start measuring ourselves by those. Amen? What we need to do is measure ourselves by, Lord, am I putting my faith in you? For the just shall live by. For by grace are you saved through faith. So, of course, he puts right in. He reveals the works of the flesh. He starts speaking to me, hey, cut it out. Come out of that. That behavior is not pleasing to me. Come on out. You're mine. You're born again. You smell too good to act out. You put your trust in my son. Amen. We thank you for that, Lord. Amen. You know that part of where it says, prove it. It reminds me of that Malachi, the old Malachi scripture, Malachi 3, 10 and 11. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. That's part of walking in that blessing. Remember, we've been talking about the blessing and the curse? You know, when we walk with the Lord, and we're trusting him, we're going to prove. People are going to see his. It may take more than a week. It may take more than a month. It may take longer than a year. It may take some time, but people are going to see. We're going to prove that God is working in our lives. Much of the time, people that will watch us, I've noticed people sometimes will ask me questions like this. I hear it. You still going to that church? They'll ask me things like that. What's your consistency? They'll ask me things like, how's Pastor Lee doing? Pastor Lee's doing good. Are you still talking to Pastor Lee? Absolutely. Looking for consistency. Looking for things that, hey, I can put trust what that individual says. I can put trust in what I see in their lives. As we walk with him, put our faith in his sacrifice, we're going to prove it. Prove what the will of God is, what the perfect will of God is. He's faithful. He is faithful. Just like this talking about, hey, giving to the Lord of the finances. Hey, do this. I'll prove myself. I'll prove. By giving this, there'll be proof that my hand is upon you. You know, his blessing upon our lives looks different for everybody. But I know one thing. It's always something, a joy in our hearts. There's something there that is different. Amen? Pastor Lee likes to say we smell different. We smell different because of that aroma on the cross. Not because if we're goody two shoes, it's only his aroma. Amen. Lord, we thank you. We're living this day and this hour where we can prove you to this world. Lord, you're still working in our lives that the world will see the proof. Amen. That's how they're going to see the proof. You and I, whether it's laying hands on the sick, responding in his goodness and grace. Amen. Do you love him? Can we stand up? If I get going anymore, I'm going to be going for a while. You guys got another half hour? Mr. Harris didn't raise his hand, so we'll stop now. Amen. Can we raise our hands and say, Lord, thank you that I'm a sweet aroma. Father, thank you that I'm a sweet aroma because of the sacrifice, Lord, where you said Jesus was a sweet aroma. I don't even comprehend that as his son was brutally murdered, shed his blood. How that is a sweet aroma to you, Father, is only because it paid the price for me. That was a sweet aroma because you were thinking about me. Lord, you were thinking about me when you were smelling that aroma, saying that it is finished. The propitiation of our sins are gone. We have the satisfaction piece we can nail to the wall, amen, and say, no more sins are being counted against me. It was finalized at the cross, amen. And then knowing that we're the sweet aroma of Christ as we sacrifice and do things, worship him, give in his kingdom and do things, we're doing things out of his Holy Spirit and what he's put in us and compels us to give to the kingdom of God. That is when we do things with the right heart. Saying, Lord, because of what you've done for me, Lord, I'm more than glad to what you placed in me as far as gifting to give to others because of that aroma. We thank you, Father God, as we worship you right now. We thank you for that sweet aroma, Father God. We thank you as you look at us as you smell right now a sweet aroma, incense in heaven, Father God. As there's Christians all over the world that are worshiping you, people in their bedrooms in China, people from prisons in different areas of the world that are worshiping you right now. Lord, we worship you, Father God, with them right now, Father God, those, Father God, around the world. Father, we thank you that it's a sweet aroma in your nostrils, Father God. And Lord, we thank you as we pray for this nation, Father God, as you will open the eyes of people about the truth of your sacrifice and what it accomplished, Father God. It is real today as it was 2,000 years. Father, we ask that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, Father God, people's eyes would be opened to the one only way that people could be made right with you. The only way people can truly walk in joy, Father God, is by looking at Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Who stood, who endured the pain, the suffering, the shame, and is now at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and I. Father, we thank you for making intercession for us. We thank you for making things that are impossible in our lives possible. Father, if we talk about faith, the faith of a mustard seed next week, Father God, reveal yourself to us this week. We thank you for revealing yourself to us day by day, Father God, how we love you and worship you. And we thank you for that tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. And God's people said, amen, amen. Do you love him?